This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. 2003 was a good year for science stories. And to recap some of the more notable ones, we're joined by Ira Flatow. He's host of NPR's Science Friday and a regular Thursday guest here on Day to Day. Ira, welcome back. And what are the science stories that you think really got people to sit up and pay attention this year?
Well, you know, Alex, there are so many of them that trying to winnow them down is difficult. I'm going to share with you the ones that sort of affected me in a sort of quirky way. So as Rod Serling used to say, presented for your consideration. Let me give you my short list of what really stuck out for me.
Okay.
All right, here we go. At the top of the list, there are many stories that confuse all of us, such as health stories about hormone replacement therapy, which I classify in the category what do I do now kind of story. And the one I've chosen for this year is one that broke recently, the story about mercury in fish.
Remember that one? I saw this on the wires just within the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, what do I do now? Do I stop eating fish? Because this story was aimed mostly at pregnant women because there are higher levels of mercury in tuna fish and white meat tuna, the kinds in the cans, the white meat, not the light meat, the white meat. And so they've been telling pregnant women that the mercury levels may be a little bit dangerous for your unborn fetus, so you should probably stay away from white meat tuna. But what has not been told about the story, which I think is really neat, so to speak, is how did the mercury get into the fish? When you heard this story, didn't you say, how the heck does mercury get into a fish?
Right. Well, I mean, how does it?
Yeah, well, most of the mercury in our environment comes from burning of coal, which releases the mercury into the air, and that finds its way into streams and lakes, the ocean, and the fish. And the irony here in this story is that it's coming out just as the EPA wants to roll back tough anti-mercury laws laid down in the Clinton era, which would force power plants to quickly cut down on the amount of mercury they can release. Now, the EPA says, this EPA says, well, we've got a little different way of doing it. We're going to roll it back, but we're going to come up with a plan that takes a little longer to do that. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting story.
Okay, mercury in fish and specifically in tuna. What's story number two?
All right, that would be classified as the computing on the cheap story, the sort of a theme that has been running through this computing on the cheap this year. This month, a 26-year-old graduate student at Michigan State University used an off-the-shelf office computer, like the kind you might have on your desk, linked to a network of more than 200,000 computers on the Internet. And he did this to calculate the largest prime number yet found. And that comes to be over 6 million digits long.
We actually spoke to this kid on Day to Day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, did he tell you why he wanted to do that? That's in the whole other story, I think. But this comes on the heels of another Yes, You Can Try This at Home achievement at Virginia Tech University. Now, there, they hooked up over 1,000 Apple Macintosh computers together to create the world's third most powerful supercomputer. The interesting storyline here is that they did it at 1/100th the cost of the big boys who use these giant mainframes. By using 1,000 Macs, they could do it at 1/100th the cost. So you have that computing on the cheap trend this year.
Hey, score one for the little guys, right? Ira, global warming was in the news again this year.
And I put that story in my When Will the Doubting Thomases Believe It category. Some folks are still not convinced that global warming is happening, but this year we saw more evidence about melting glaciers, record heat and droughts. And just this week, there is news that soot, you know, the black carbon stuff that comes out of chimneys and exhaust pipes.
Yeah.
Soot may account for up to 25% of global warming because when it falls, let's say, on snow, it absorbs the sunlight. It absorbs it instead of allowing this energy to be reflected back. And so there's the raise in temperature that you have, something that was not really calculated into the older models.
Okay. How about your number one favorite, your personal favorite science story of the year?
Yes. If you follow my career, you know I like this one the best. And I'd have to classify this as my most hard-to-believe story. And it really is. And that is that the universe is made up overwhelmingly of things that we cannot see, dark matter and dark energy. There is new evidence this year that cements the idea that the ordinary stuff, you know, the stuff you go out in the backyard and you look at, the stars, the galaxies, the gas clouds, these things, they make up only 4% of the universe. Another 23% is made up of mysterious dark matter. We don't know what this is. And then there's the great majority of the universe, 75%, three-quarters of the universe, is made up of some really mysterious dark energy. We don't know what that is either. So at times now when you get a bit cocky about this being the 21st century, just realize that we only understand the makeup of 4% of the entire universe. Happy holidays.
Thanks for being with us. Ira's host of NPR Science Friday and a regular contributor to Day to Day. Thanks, Ira.
Thank you, Alex.